everybody, and welcome to Pod on the Tyne. My name's Taylor Payne, and this is your go-to Newcastle United podcast brought to you by The Athletic. I am here this week in lockdown, joined, as ever, by Captain Chris Waffles Woff. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm getting there, mate. It's another week. We are still alive, which is great. And speaking of which, over to Mr. George Colgan. How are you doing, George?
I am so unbelievably alert. I could not be more alerter.
Good, yeah.
Alerter.
Excellent.
I'm alert. Excellent. I'm just alert to, everything. I'm alert to anything and everything. I'm alert to the possibilities.
I mean, I'm really glad I'm alert because I saw three coronavirus coming down the street towards me the other day, and then I hid behind a tree, and luckily I didn't see it. So
that's the way to be. Yeah, be
that's,
alert.
That's how you have got to be on your guard, haven't you? How's your week been, George? Has it been all right?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you know, it's about sort of, you know, finding, getting used to the new normal, doing different things, finding new things to do. I had a comedy conversation with Steve Bruce yesterday. I gave him a ring.
Is there any other kind?
And he answered the phone and he said, "Hello, son." I said, "Oh, what's up?" "I'm just buying some creosote."
Nice.
And I just, "I'll have to call you back. I'll have to call you back." So it was very, very endearing. And it just felt like something that Steve Bruce would do. And he rang back and I said, so he was buying it from a farm, from like a farm shop. So it was all perfectly like legal. And I said, "So what, why were you buying creosote?" And he said, "I've just got this really ugly fence." So I don't know. God. I just cheered me up. That cheered me up a lot. Steve Bruce buying creosote and buying it because he has a really ugly fence.
That's pretty good, isn't it? That reminds me a little bit of the Alan Shearer story where what he did after celebrating winning the title was creosote defence, didn't he?
Creosote defence, yeah.
Impressive. Yeah. Maybe it's a footballer thing that we don't know about. Maybe that's what they're all doing. Anyway, Chris, how are you doing? Are you okay?
Well, I have what can only be described now as lockdown locks. I don't mean locks as in locks on your front door. I mean locks as in the hair that used to be on my head and is now... my fiance was given the task on Sunday of using some clippers to remove said hair. A three all over is what I went for, and it came out with a three on the top, and then what looks on one side as if it's like I didn't get a Nike swoosh when I was 4 years old, so instead I've tried to do it when I'm 28, and the clippers have slipped, and it's just like looks like just a swoosh. And then on the other side, it very much looks like someone who's been trying to mow the lawn and has just gone awry and has just done a weird pattern. So yes, I am now, me and George had a Zoom call this morning and I refused at first to remove the hood from the hoodie that's on top of my head because he was just laughing the whole way through.
So I want to preface what I'm saying by pointing out that I love Waffles. I mean, I genuinely love him. I love him as a colleague. I love him as a man. I love him as a friend. He is one of my very, very favourite people in the world. I adore working with him. We work together really well. But he looks absolutely extraordinary. I mean, he has got massive chunks of hair missing from behind his ears. And I'm afraid the notion that one of those chunks missing might be a swoosh. I'm sorry, Chris. But even by your standards, I will talk to Chris in private. I do have photographic evidence.
I'm going to need to see them, George.
We may have to make that public only with Chris's consent, obviously. No, when he came on this call this morning and he looked like an extra from a Star Wars film as a kind of young, particularly ineffective Jedi. And dear, I mean, he has been maimed. But he did look alert. He did look alert. I think next time Alice approaches him with those clippers, he will be waiting.
I'm very alert.
I've got so many questions.
Well, rather than ask all those questions, Taylor, before we hear about what you've been up to in lockdown, I know it can be quite a difficult time in lockdown. I know we all need a little bit of cheering up. So we actually have a small surprise for you, which is going to be played right now.
Hi Taylor, I've heard that you're Pochettino's biggest fan. I just want to say thank you and wish you all the best.
That is the
no
man.
Way. Is that Pochettino?
Yeah, well, Taylor,
every question that gets asked is the answer. You deliver the answer, James Perch. I can't believe you've just asked the question. Is that James Perch?
That is James Perch. That's wow. That is incredible. That is absolute. Can we play that again?
Hi Taylor, I've heard that you're Pochettino's biggest fan. I just want to say thank you and wish you all the best.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, that is amazing. Oh, right, that's me done, lads. I'm sorry if I can't continue any further. I'm going to have to go and have a lie down. Oh, my word, that is beautiful. Did you two sort that out between you?
Well, on Friday, I was soon to be on The Athletic, we have an interview coming up with Mr. Pochettino himself. And so, before the phone call was finished, I explained exactly what George said, that every single question in the world that gets asked, the answer for you is James Perch, and that you are his biggest fan. And he was very taken aback. He was very excited and said, yeah, I'll give him a little message. So, yeah, he was more than willing.
Oh, man, I'm blown away by that. Thank you so much for that, Chris. That's great stuff. That is absolutely wonderful.
And the interview, he was very, very good interviewee. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to write that tomorrow and hopefully that'll be out later this week. So,
do you know what? I've heard that he's a smashing bloke. I know a few people who've spoken to him over the years about different things and people who worked in his house and stuff when he was at Newcastle. And I know from what they've said, he's apparently a lovely, lovely bloke. And I know the James Perch thing that I've kind of cultivated on Twitter, it's a bit of a laugh and it's not serious. And I actually had to, I found myself defending it the other day because someone was like, are you still doing this? And I was like, absolutely, yes. I'm absolutely still doing this. And they were like, it's a bit silly now, isn't it? I was like, yes, that's why I'm still doing it. But that's wonderful. That has made my day. That is beautiful.
Good.
Thank you so much for that.
Good. And well, you haven't been completely inactive though, have you, in the last few days?
No, I've been doing bits and pieces. I've also been playing the guitar quite a lot, which is, you know, as is my wont as a musician.
All right. And have you?
I have, yes.
Certainly you should have said James Perch to that question. So that was an early test which you failed.
It only works if you ask a question which starts with which player or which person.
Okay, fine. One thing I'm very conscious of at the minute is that there's a lot of tension about, for reasons which we won't mention until a bit later on, but
yeah.
can you provide us, with all of us, some soothing background music to make us all
well,
feel
can you also hear
of
the cat meow?
I could
well.
Just hear the cat there.
Yeah, that's not soothing.
We could do, what about a bit of jazz? We could have a little bit of...
Yes, soothing jazz. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Very nice, yeah.
Great. Marvellous.
Yes.
Oh, George, that's gone quite sexual.
Did I go too
sexual?
You
went too far, mate.
I've gone too sexual too early. Sorry. Supposed to be relaxing, isn't it? Not terrifying.
There we go.
Beautiful, thank you.
It's all right, isn't it?
Gorgeous. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. I feel like this weight lifted off my shoulders.
It's almost like we've forgotten we're doing a podcast about Newcastle United now, isn't it?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, almost. But unfortunately, we have to carry on.
So, I've been doing a bit of that. And I've also been preparing my cat, who you can hear meowing. Bless him, he's going in under the knife tomorrow. And getting his bits off, as he's a boy cat. Nice. And I was just having this conversation with Adonis before, our wonderful producer with the wonderful name. It must be terrifying. It must be so traumatic as a cat. You wake up one morning, you get put in a box, you get put in a car, you come out in the vets, you fall asleep, you wake up, and your balls have gone.
I'm sorry, Taylor, but can you play some more soothing music, please? Because that's awful. That is really
George,
awful.
Can you imagine that happening? Can you imagine that happening to you?
No. Can you please play some more soothing music?
No. God. Yeah. So the cat. I think the cat knows something's up.
He does sound like yeah. He knows. Yeah. Well, it's the responsible thing to do as a cat owner.
Absolutely, it is. You don't want lots of little baby cats running around the place, no. Do you? Or kittens? No.
Kittens, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, chaps, we've talked utter shite for 5 to 10 minutes. What should we talk about now? Danny Rose has been in the news this morning, talking on, I believe, an Instagram live chat about Project Restart and about the Premier League. And his comments, let's say, have been we have to be careful here, don't we? His comments have strong. Been taken... Yeah, they're very strong, aren't they? Yeah.
I think we can hear a bit of them, can't we?
Oh, good, yeah.
Government saying, oh, bring football back because it's going to boost the nation's morale. I don't give a fuck about the nation's morale, bro. People's lives are at risk, so it's just... Do you know what I mean? Football shouldn't even be spoke about, like, coming back until the numbers have dropped, like, massively. It's bollocks, bro, so...
Well, very honest and open, that, isn't it?
Very sweary. Could definitely have done with a bit of soothing jazz in the background. Well, it's, you know, one of the things from speaking to Steve Bruce, they are due back in on Friday to have starting tests, and then Monday they're due to start training, albeit in very limited numbers, 4 or 5 at the training ground at the same time. And, you know, we're still waiting for kind of final votes and so on and so forth. But there has been that kind of indication now that that it can happen next month. And so football is starting to kind of gear up again. But these arguments, you know, the conversation hasn't gone away. And Danny Rose has always been one of the most sort of open and outspoken footballers around, and I have huge sympathy for what he's saying. You know, there does seem to be this sort of government sort of sanctioned notion that it's, you know, good for the country's morale to get football back. Meanwhile, football is sort of wrestling with itself, and a lot of it is about money, and, you know, it feels to me like sort of almost all of it is about money. And, you know, part of me would love to see football on the telly again. Part of me doesn't want that at all. And what I care about is the sort of human side of it. And, you know, which I think we talked about kind of last week. It's, and, you know, this idea of players being tested and retested, and the idea of, you know, neutral venues, that doesn't sound like that's going to happen now, but the idea of games being played behind closed doors, it feels to me, you know, it stops being football at some point. And, you know, players are and are right to be concerned about what the game will look like when it comes back. I mean, we are still being told that we have to socially distance, and okay, fine, players will be tested before and afterwards, but they won't be social distancing on a pitch. And I don't know, it feels like some sort of, it feels very strange, and it stops being football for me in this, somewhere in this conversation. And, you know, you are talking about health and you are talking about well-being and stuff like that. You know, I don't know what Chris thinks, but it just feels so far away from football or what football means to me that, you know, there is this, I don't want to say that this feeling that footballers are sort of expendable. I don't think the government is sort of saying that. But, you know, I don't think we should be doing this until there are proper guarantees in place. And I just can't see the point in playing games the rest of the season. I honestly can't. I just can't.
I don't think forcing footballers back to work to provide entertainment for us when this is happening is a good look. I think it's horrible, actually. I don't think it should be happening. I don't think it should be even on the thought process of people at the minute. I don't really give two monkeys about football at the minute. I don't care whether it returns on the 1st of July or if it's August or September or whatever. As long as people are safe, that has to be number one priority. But it goes like this for any workplace environment for me, not just footballers or whatever. If I got a phone call tomorrow asking me to go back into work, I'd want assurances that it was safe. Do you know what I mean? It's the same for everybody, isn't it? And footballers, I think footballers get made out to be, you know, oh, well, they should be happy that they get to play again, these millionaires. And it's nothing to do with them being millionaires or rich guys or anything like that. They're in a job. They provide entertainment for the public, and it's not required at the minute. It's not necessary.
Even removing the football element, at the end of the day, and this often does almost get overlooked, these people are human beings. They have families. Some of them, you read stories about some players are concerned about coming back because they live with someone who's described as vulnerable, be that a family member, an elder generation, someone who's got an underlying health issue. And so they don't feel comfortable potentially going out into, yeah, they're talking about creating these biospheres to a degree and everyone's going to be tested regularly, but there's still no guarantee that that safety is there. And I find it strange that as soon as there's been a lot of that, and I saw someone tweet earlier basically saying that if someone towards the bottom of the Premier League, a player comes out and says that they're not comfortable about playing, it's because, oh, they get relegated. Towards the top of the Premier League, suddenly people start listening and think, actually, yeah, maybe this is something. Forget where players are and what clubs they're at. They are human beings first and foremost, and this is those concerns clearly were expressed in very strong terms by Danny Rose. But he is very vocal. He is someone who doesn't sugarcoat his words. He's a very, for us as journalists, he's a brilliant interviewee because he doesn't speak in cliches. He's honest. And he will say what he thinks. And clearly Rose is someone, obviously he's due to return to Newcastle on Friday to have a test. They're in theory potentially going to start training in small groups on Monday. But that just shows you that there's at least some players who have these concerns still, and that really they need to be addressed and reassured, just as when parents are worried about sending kids back to school, players need to be reassured that they and their families will be safe if this resumes.
And there's that very strange thing, you know, like at the start, footballers are sort of held up, you know, these are the people who have to make, who we sort of have to make an example of, and that they should be taking pay cuts, and that they should, you know, that footballers were the people who were shamed. And, you know, why footballers? Why, you know, and now it's footballers kind of have to come back to sort of entertain us. And there's this sort of really peculiar relationship some people seem to have with football and footballers, that they're being held up as being, you know, the worst examples. And now they're expected to be sort of the best examples and to make us all happy and get us out of it. And, you know, this is a huge health issue that affects all of us. And, you know, I find football's and role in it, I find that kind of really sort of distasteful. And it's annoying. I mean, it's annoying. Again, to repeat, I can't understand the idea that we have to rush back. I can understand. I do understand it, because I think by and large on the Premier League side, on football side, it's about money. Yeah. And but this idea of sort of, you know, rushing back, I think exactly as you say, Taylor, it's not a good look. People having to be tested, people having to, you know, be tested and retested, training in small groups. Well, if you're training in small groups, you can't train as a defence. You can't train as, you know, it's and if it gets to the point where you're doing all that and then there are no people there to watch you at the end of it, it stops being football. It's something else.
It doesn't, to me, it doesn't make sense, and it's not necessary. And there's 100,000 other things that need to be thought about first before this. I don't want to get all tinfoil hat here about this, but to me, it feels like when things are not quite going right, point at the footballers and say,
exactly.
You need to sort this out. Why aren't you sorting this out? Why aren't you entertaining us? There's absolutely no question in my mind these people should not be going back to work. It's for our entertainment, it's sick. It's actually sick to me. I don't like it at all.
Right, we need a musical. We need a musical interlude after that. I'm feeling all stressed.
What about
cans?
It's too early. You've gone too early. You've gone too early.
Shit! Sorry, got carried away, didn't I?
Harry sponsors Pod on the Tyne, a podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Harry's was founded by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were sick and tired of overpriced razors. Jeff and Andy knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. And now, by taking less profit, Harry's offers great quality products for a fair price. Their amazing quality blades are now almost half the price of the leading five-blade brand. The Harry's trial set includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. As a listener to Pod on the Tyne, you can start shaving with Harry's today by claiming your trial set for £3.95. Support our podcast and get your set delivered to you, including a razor handle, 5 blade cartridge, foaming shave gel, and travel blade cover, by going to harrys.com/podonthetyne right now. That's harrys.com/podonthetyne.
So, George, we've just heard a bit of my new composition there called Cans, which is an anthem for a generation, I think you'll find. Expect it to be in all good record shops soon. Do we even have record shops? No, we don't. No shops. We don't even have shops anymore. expect to find it scrawled on my toilet wall very soon. So, George, I know this is the last thing in the world we want to be talking about right now, and there, you know, you've had questions coming at you from all angles. I imagine you're absolutely sick to death of this. But where are we with the takeover at the moment? There's been a lot of noise this week again, as there has been every week since this whole debacle started. Where are we?
Well, can you just play some gentle notes in the background, please, whilst I speak? That would be very nice if you could just do little background noise.
Some gentle background notes.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Oh, that's nice, yeah. That calms me as I speak. So I think the important thing here is to remember that this is a process. Oh, I'm kind of feeling like I'm falling asleep gently.
Sound like a doctor on TV, you know, like a GMTV doctor.
Oh, yeah, okay, I quite like that. Yeah, Dr. George, I quite like that. And so if you're sort of looking at it on a day-to-day basis, it feels like there is another news story will come out and that's bad news and therefore we should all get up a height and be really worried and it's never going to happen and it's not going to happen. This is a long-term process, and the word process there is the key thing. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way process. So it's not that at the moment that the Premier League are reading through the documents submitted by the buyers and at some point are going to make a pronouncement and, you know, that's the end of it, and they keep being given more and more bad things and so that makes it worse and worse. It's a two-way conversation. So they're reading things and they're then asking for more information or further details. Amanda Staveley's group and then providing that information. And so when we've talked about things like there being no red flags in the process, what that means is that nothing that the Premier League has found would be enough to derail it, you know. And again, when we've talked about possible timelines for it, so originally, I've said this so many times now, that they were told it could take up to 4 weeks, but that was a guideline. It was a, you know, it's not a definitive deadline. It's not a date by which it can't happen anymore. And it's shown that it's been incredibly complicated. And there are also other things going on with the Premier League, as we've seen, and there are other things going on in the world. So none of the subjects which have kind of come up, from whether it's human rights, whether it's TV piracy, all those things, were unexpected. They were expected. But at the end of it, what happens is the Premier League will decide, then the final bit of money happens. It's kind of as if every time there's a news story which could be looked at as negative, that it's about to derail it. Well, it's not. It's a conversation. And they try and work... Oh, okay, now you're getting slightly edgy music now, because it feels like I'm... Oh no.
You mentioned derailing...
No. Oh no! I need to get this back on track. I need to
pull
this back on track. So, I mean, the latest report this week says that there's, you know, that there's new information about the piracy thing. I mean, again, it just has to be allowed to be sifted through and looked at. And I've said this before as well, that if this is an exhaustive process, then as people who care about Newcastle, we should be happy about that. I mean, it might not feel like it at the moment, but, you know, there has been an ownership that's been there for 13 years, and for most of that time, Newcastle fans have been unhappy with that owner. Now, if this process takes a long time, at the end of it, there are new owners, that's surely a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing. It might not feel like it at the moment, but if they're being exhaustive in sifting through all these arguments and sifting through all the information, that's good for us as Newcastle fans. It's not bad, it's good. And so we have to let it, we have to let this play out. I love it.
Stupid guitar down. Anyway, I completely get what you're saying. I think a lot of people at the minute are kind of, using these numbers that they keep hearing. So they hear things like 2 to 4 weeks or this time next week, or, you know, they're using these as absolutes and they're going, well, it has to be done by then. And I think this is the danger we're in at the minute, is that people, when something isn't announced or something hasn't happened by this point or by a certain point, people get into, you know, they get themselves into a tizzy about it. And it's, like you say, it's a process and it will be completed when it's completed. Now, we still don't know what the answer to that is going to be, whether it's going to be completed and green light go or completed and sorry, but, you know, better luck next time. We don't know yet, and nobody knows except the Premier League. And, you know, we just have to keep waiting and being patient. Are you waiting and being patient, Chris?
I am, yeah. I mean, when you mentioned those timeframes, I just want to sort of defend some people in our industry, in journalism.
I know
that a lot of people are picking up on these and saying 2 to 4 weeks on the site, but every day on social media, fans understandably want information and they're asking journalists for information. They want more. So journalists are giving across the information they hear from various sides, whoever that may be. Now, most of those reports have contextualised that, as George has said, in terms of that there is no set time limit for this. 2 to 4 weeks was the guidance that all of them were given. But sometimes this takes less time, sometimes it takes more time. Southampton, because it was very complicated in a slightly different way, it took a long time. Because it's that two-way conversation as well. New things come to light, that means that the process takes longer. Does that mean it's been delayed? Well, it depends how you want to bracket that. But so when I was at the Chronicle before, takeover stories are so difficult to report on. George and I know how difficult it is doing it here, but when you have a day-to-day reporting on this, as a lot of other news organisations are having to do, Sky and everyone, it is very difficult because, rightly and understandably, fans want information. But unfortunately, when it's with the Premier League, there is very little information to give beyond what you can hear from both sides. The Premier League haven't yet made their own decision. You said before that nobody knows but the Premier League. I'm not even sure if the Premier League could necessarily give you the answer, because they're still working through it. So you're at this stage where, it is very difficult, particularly in lockdown when everyone is so heightened. It feels like Mike Ashley's tenure is so close to being over, and that it also feels so far. And I entirely understand why there is so much frustration, but it is just a frustrating process for everyone involved. And we would all very much like it to end in a positive manner soon, but we just, unfortunately, all we can say is that it's a process that's going to take some time.
100% is, it's understandable that people are, you know, nervous and exacerbated and frustrated and things like that. The Premier League guidance that it could take up to 4 weeks is something that they shared with, you know, with both sides of this. And they just, that's so that people can make, you know, make plans to what, you know, to the best of their ability. Okay, so just to let you know, this will probably, it might take this time. So that's the kind of thing you want to know in any walk of life about anything. Okay, fine, you can't give me the exact date, but can you give me something that I can work with, something that I can, you know. And so, but equally, the Premier League probably thought that by now they would have some idea about whether football was going to start again. And things have changed in all of our lives since then, including lockdown being extended further, including, you know, those sorts of things changing. And the Premier League is, so, you know, they might have had an idea that that side of things would have been sorted out. Now, I'm not necessarily linking the two things together, but I'm just saying things happen. Things happen in life that either complicate things or delay things. But I'm hesitant to use that word delay, because people say, is it delayed? Well, no, it's not delayed. It's a process that takes time. And
when you see that word delayed, I think people think, well, that means there must have been an end date. But there was never an end date.
No,
you can only delay something when you've got an end date.
You know, perhaps there have been moments when, you know, if I've been like asked on Twitter, oh, might this week be the week that it happens? Or, you know, what's your hearing? You know, and I'm reflecting back what both sides have been told, again, as guidance. Oh, well, this week. And it's not like, you know, we've made our mind up, we're going to tell you on that. It's like, okay, well, this is how the process is looking. Feels like we're at the end of it now. And then, you know, there can be something that happens that needs further investigation. And that's how it's working. It's not like everyone's just sitting waiting. It's investigating the people who will be running the club and then also their plans for the club. It's a very, very complex process. It's not just one director. There are several people that have to be looked at. And, you know, I think It's very difficult because there are lots of news outlets, and you know, we're reading on one hand that Newcastle are going to be after Gareth Bale, and that Pochettino is going to be manager, and on the other hand, we're reading Mike Ashley's getting annoyed about this, and there's other bidders in the winter. It's like, come on, you know.
Sometimes you're reading that from the same outlet as well,
and you can be, and it's very, you know, it's amazing, very difficult. And I don't want to tell people not to look at newspapers and stuff like that, you know, because we're a news organisation and stuff like that.
But yeah, exactly.
I would urge people not to sort of, I mean, Gareth Bale is not joining Newcastle. You know, I would urge people.
You've heard it here first, people. That's an exclusive there from Colgan.
This isn't just journalists, by the way. You know, Marca, yeah. I think I'm right in saying, I've got a very close relationship with Real Madrid. Real Madrid, who've been trying to get rid of Gareth Bale for a long time. I mean, so there are so, you know, the media kind of carries the can for a lot of this, but there are so many agendas in football and so many people.
It's very political, isn't it?
Whether it's clubs, whether it's players, whether it's directors, whether it's managers, all that sort of stuff. And when people think that money is appearing from somewhere, people get very, very excited. And so what I would urge people to do is try and take a step back and, you know, remember that this is, again, I'm using the word process. I hate it. It makes me sound like sort of Roberto Martinez. It's a project. It's a process, and it'll finish when it's ready to be finished. And if it's an exhaustive process, really, we should be pleased about that. I personally don't want new owners just to be waved through and hooray, we've got new owners. I mean, Mike Ashley arrived. I was one of the people who thought he would be an improvement on the previous lot. Because I thought that the previous lot had, you know, things had started to go wrong. They were making Hollywood signings. Mm. Suddenly there was this new man that comes in, exciting, you know, felt different, felt interesting and stuff like that. And I'm not saying be careful what you wish for. I'm not using that phrase. But if this is a rigorous process, I am actually comforted by that, not the other way around.
I would say that's a pretty decent message to fans as well, isn't it? Be glad that this is taken as long as it's taken, because it's kind of, you know, you're going to make sure you're getting the right information out there, and everyone's going to be thoroughly investigated, and the takeover is going to be done in the right way. Chris, I've got a question for you. I want your opinion on this. I've seen somebody ask this on Twitter the other day, and I found it very interesting. Do you think that this takeover would even be going ahead if it wasn't for the coronavirus pandemic?
That's a very good question. I've seen other people speak about this, and there have been suggestions of people who are close to Mike Ashley that really the financial situation has sort of quickened this or forced it on in terms of Mike Ashley, his core company, Fraser Group. Obviously, the share price has dropped significantly, and he potentially wants the $300 million around that figure to help shore up that and to help shore up his core business, isn't he? Fed up with Newcastle. I mean, I can't speak specifically for Mike Ashley, but it seems to me that logically that probably has quickened the pace of it. I mean, as George has said many times before, this has been a long process. Amanda Staveley's wanted the club for 3 years, and current talks have been going on for the best part of 12 months, if not longer. So, but has this probably quickened it in a perverse sort of way, made this more likely? I think it has, and I think because of that, with Mike Ashley just wanting, the football financial landscape is now so uncertain going forward, whereas before it was sort of guaranteed 120 odd million every year of just surviving the Premier League. Now who knows how football finances will look in 3 to 5 years time.
Yeah, would we say it's probably had a detrimental value on the detrimental effect on the value of the club, hasn't it? Overall, you would definitely say that. Would this lead you to think that the price was dropped because of coronavirus and all that sort of stuff, or was this just a good bit of bargaining, a good bit of negotiation on Amanda Staveley's behalf?
I think that I have to go back several weeks now, but there was that question of why on earth would you want to buy a football club right now, because it doesn't feel like the right time to be making a massive purchase when so much is uncertain, not least, you know, when football starts again, how it starts, what it looks like, you know, the finances of whether people are in the stadium, you know, that kind of stuff. It feels like, you know, what happens to broadcasting deals and all that. And I think what we said then was that the investment fund of Saudi Arabia, they're actually looking at the long term, and for the long term for them, the coronavirus is not irrelevant, but is a short-term thing. And if it lasts for a year, that is still a short-term, that is still a short-term issue. If they're looking at something 10 years down the line, you know, this is an investment which may bear fruit in 10 years, or, you know, that sort of stuff, that they can actually afford to, that they are so ridiculously wealthy that they can afford, you know, that they can afford to do that. Or if you're more cynical about it and see it as an issue about sports washing, well, that's something that, you know, that's something that doesn't change tomorrow, next year, you know, they'll want to do that. So however, you know, however you look at it, whether it's from a positive side or a sort of negative side or a combination of those things, it's a sort of long-term, it's a long-term investment, and the sort of ups and downs of it don't kind of matter too much. It doesn't feel, you know, I don't think, I mean, possibly moving forward, you know, when we see clubs really struggling, perhaps, you know, perhaps sort of businesses around the world will see this as an opportunity to sort of snap up. I mean, I'm, you know, this can apply to any business. You know, perhaps they'll see that as a time to sort of but I mean, I think the price has come down at Newcastle, and I think that's because of the, you know, I think that is because of the uncertainty around at the moment.
Thanks to our good pals at beer52.com, you have the opportunity to sip 8 delicious, painstakingly sourced craft beers from around the world. All you need to do is go to www.beer52.com/tyne and pay the postage of just $4.95. And if that wasn't enough, as listeners to Pod on the Tyne, you'll get 2 extra free beers. Beer 52 are beer pioneers. They travel the globe and find the best and most interesting beer from the very best craft breweries. They are now the world's most popular craft beer discovery club. Each month, Beer 52 deliver a case with a different theme. Themes have included Germany, Korea, Belgium, South Africa, California, New Zealand, and many more. As an independent UK company, Beer 52 are also passionate about the UK craft beer scene. The beauty of Beer 52 is that you can leave at any time. The power is in your hands. Your case will also include the award-winning craft beer magazine Ferment, and a beery snack is thrown in too. Just go to www.beer52.com/tyne to get your case free. And don't forget, right now, listeners to Pod on the Tyne get 2 extra free beers.
Remember, ladies and gents, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on in the football world, all the fantastic writers we have at The Athletic. And at the moment, we have a 90-day free trial for those of you who are signing up. Keep an eye on the website for new and interesting articles from Captain Waffles and from George Colgan. And take care of yourselves. Make sure you check out that 90-day free subscription. Cheers. I have another question that I want to direct to Chris, actually, that's just came to me. Chris, why didn't you just shave it all off on a no guard?
I've asked him that this morning.
I don't understand why you would leave it in the current state it's in. Why wouldn't you just shave it all off?
It's unique, what I have at the minute.
You're unique, definitely.
Wow.
I think that there will be a lot of people in time will be asking for a Waffles.
Actually, is it I'm gonna have a look. Does it look like a waffle?
It doesn't look like a waffle.
Honestly, the first man in history to have his hair cut with a combine harvester. That's just amazing.
You need your head creosoted, Chris.
Get on to Bruce, he might have some left. Chaps, thank you very much for talking to us. It's been a good 45 minutes or so. I hope you've enjoyed yourselves. Thanks for listening. Of course, stay safe, stay alert, keep those cans cold, look after yourselves. Please, whatever you do, don't try and cut your hair like Chris has, and just take care of yourselves. Chris, have a good week, mate. We'll speak to you next time.
Thank you. Speak to you soon. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah. I look forward to your next instalment in the tribulations of Chris Woff's life. George, take care, mate.
Thank you very much. Alert at all times. Alert to all dangers. Alert to possibilities. Alert. Just constantly alert. State of alertness.
Excellent. I'm off to chop off a cat's knackers. I'll see you next time. Thanks very much for listening. This has been Pod on the Tyne. Take care. Bye-bye.